Welcome, everybody, to episode 2 of the Off Balance 3, the podcast brought to you by CrookedScoreboard.com, where they're taking a swing at sports. Pretty fantastic subtitle. So we made it. I thank you for listening to the first episode, if you did. And if not, if this is your first exposure to the show, I am Aaron Hodges. That will continue to be my name unless I enter the Witness Protection Program, which isn't likely because I'm very slippery. In this episode, Jason Shapiro joins me, a comedian, writer, actor, director. He's a Renaissance man. Very funny guy and an MMA enthusiast. Very passionate about MMA. But it's not just about MMA, so please, if you're listening to it and you're like, all right, I'm out. I'm not listening. Like, I don't care about the MMA. Don't worry about it, because we touch on it. But we also go into the facial hair ban by Don Mattingly, talk about Kobe Bryant and his retirement tour, and we even talk a little bit about comedy and the trash-talking skills of Conor McGregor. So don't worry, a little something for everybody. You gotta follow him on Twitter, @Shapiro. And you'll find out why it's so important later on. Just a little business off top, if you like the show, if you're listening on your podcast app or on your computer, just take a second to write a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. It's available on Stitcher as well if you listen on there. Even if you just listen on Podbean, go over to iTunes and Stitcher. It's important. It'll help get eyeballs on the show. Or more importantly, ears. Ears are probably more important because you can't see me. Anyway, about time we start the show, but first,
it's time for Getting to Know the WNBA Mascots. Here's your host. She's a writer and comic based in Washington, D.C., and she's an extraordinary Parcheesi player, Natalie McGill.
Today, we're going to get acquainted with Pax of the Washington Mystics. Obviously, having zilch to do with mysticism or wizardry, Pax was the Washington franchise's cheap way of capitalizing on D.C.'s inexplicable obsession with pandas. Even his birthplace is the National Zoo. He's also a sobering reminder that DC residents will stand in line for an hour to maybe see an animal that can't even be bothered to procreate before they will spend 1 minute inside Verizon Center to see the Mystics and, let's face it, even the Wizards play basketball.
Thanks, Natalie. Now, back to the show.
Good stuff there. The WNBA mascots are historically a mystery to everyone. Thank you, Natalie, for providing that very valuable service. You can check out her article on CrookedScoreboard.com on all of the WNBA mascots. It's fantastic. And now it's time for this week's musical performance.
Look at me now. My song gon' repeat.
Woo! Straight fire from Moolah Miggs. You can follow him on Twitter @MoolahMiggs. And now it's time for my conversation with Jason Shapiro. Yes, it's the Off Balance 3. Aaron Hodges here. Episode 2. Episode 2, we made it through the storm of the first episode. They didn't pull the plug on me yet, Jason Shapiro.
What's up, man? Is that my intro?
That's your intro. Jason Shapiro, comedian, radio host, writer, director.
And lover of sports.
Lover of sports.
And I'm a lover of Off Balance 3. I'm glad to be here on The Deuce, the second episode.
Yeah.
It's an honor.
The Deuce of the Off Balance 3.
Yeah, it's like this episode's called The Triple Double.
I like it.
The three and the two. Or the Jordan, the two and the three.
Happy to have you on the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wanted to talk a little bit of MMA because that's, besides comedy and writing, I'd say that's your biggest passion.
Yeah, it's comedy, writing, ladies, organic foods, and then fighting. In that order.
In that order?
Yeah, I love comedy first, and then you know I love it organic in the four spot.
You are a bit of a foodie.
But also, probably more relevant to this podcast, I like MMA a lot. I love fighting.
You do, but I do want to get into the organic
food. Okay.
What are you eating right now? What's the kale of the moment?
I've never been hot on kale. I think it's overrated and a fad.
Mm-hmm.
Green, I believe there's more power nutrients than just good old-fashioned spinach. And kale doesn't even taste that good. It's tough to get down. Like, it's no chef in the world is ever going to be like, this dish is great. It needs a little bit of kale. Like, it doesn't taste good. It's a tough green. It's leathery almost. And I'm just not sold on it. The kale of the moment, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I could tell you, I'm going to dodge that question and sidestep it.
Okay, that's fine.
And give you just some foods that I can eat with no guilt. Like, I'm always worried about how clean a food is.
Yeah.
Like, the apples are too dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're too much pesticide. The chickens are farmed all wrong. I got to get out of that game. The foods that I can eat and just feel happy as a clam. Avocados, bananas, blueberries, coconut water, And I think that's it. I eat those. I'm like, oh, eggs and a nice organic egg.
No problem with the eggs, but the chickens are no good.
Well, Look, man, I eat chicken. I'll even eat pepperoni, man. Sometimes I eat things that I know I shouldn't. But I'm just saying, in the back of my head, I get a thing being like, oh, what, you're killing yourself, man. What are you doing? What are you doing right now?
You know,
like, you know when you're an adult and you eat Taco Bell?
Right.
And it's good.
There's a slight bit of guilt.
It's not just guilt. It's like if you smoke cigarettes. It's like being like, yo,
exactly,
man, you know you're...
This is going to take a few years off your life, potentially, but tastes delicious.
Right, right. So that's how I feel about anything other than the foods I've mentioned. So chicken, hey, man, I eat it, and I feel pretty good about it. But like a steak, that red meat, love it, but I'm like, you idiot.
You're pretty hardcore, though, if you consider chicken a vice.
Not a vice. I don't think as far as the delectable meat, like it's not like this decadent indulgence. I'm just saying the chickens in this country are filthy. By the way, if I leave the country, I feel good about the food. Like I could eat a chicken in the Middle East and be like, this is great. I could go, not China though, that place, I don't know what they're
Never
doing.
Never mind China.
But I'm just saying, you go to Europe, I go to Italy, I'll have some prosciutto. I feel like the farming is fresher. And you wanna know why, Aaron? Monsanto is the evil corporation that controls America's food.
And all the chemicals that we're pouring into
all
our foods.
All the chemicals. I mean, at the end of the day, the food industry in America is an industry.
Right.
There's a bottom line. They're controlled by corporations. And, you know, a corporation doesn't care about what they're serving you. They just care about the bottom line. So their goal every day is to make the most money, which means do practices that might be not great for the consumer, but are great for the bank accounts.
You know what? You were right.
This is a sports podcast.
We should have glossed over this.
This is a sports podcast, right?
Right?
Well, look, athletes, let me tie it together. Athletes, they got to eat good. Did you read Tom Brady's diet?
I did hear that he never drank coffee. That's the one thing that found its way to me.
Because he's got a personal, obviously like many athletes and even celebrities just have personal chef. And his chef, they got a whole regimen for him where it's like, there's no red meat. He's not even tomatoes or nightshade vegetables, like peppers, because
nightshade vegetables.
Yeah, that's like peppers, tomatoes, eggplants, I think. It's just that skin, you know, they have that similar type of skin situation.
Right.
They say, you know, those guys, they may cause inflammation. So Tom Brady's guys, like, those are out.
Wow.
You know, so.
I mean, if you had Tom Brady's money, are you going that route?
If I had Tom Brady's money, I would absolutely, I'd have a personal chef.
Yeah.
And I'd be eating the most meticulously prepared food. The cleanest food. My dream is to live next door to a hippie commune that farms their own food.
Absolutely.
I don't want to deal with these people or work with them or like
or
do my
share.
Or grow
your own food?
I'm not into that. But I want to be next door, and so I'll be like, hey, look,
you
bro.
You barter.
Yeah, let me give you some jokes, and you give me some of that organic egg.
Those better be some good jokes, man.
Or some bad eggs. I don't know.
Or some bad eggs, yeah. So Don Mattingly, the manager of the Marlins, has decided that his team should not have any facial hair. He's banned all of his players from growing facial hair. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, look, I don't know much about baseball, but here's what I know. Don Mattingly, Donnie Baseball, is a Yankee.
That's what I'm saying.
And the Yankees,
They had that policy.
It just seems like he's just, you know, he's just like, this is how baseball goes. I know how baseball goes. No mustaches and you win pennants. I don't know. So I'm fine with it.
It's funny you bring up mustaches. I just read that the American Mustache Institute,
AMI,
they're going after Don Mattingly and saying this is ridiculous.
Why don't they go after the Yankees?
Because the Yankees, they don't care about the Yankees anymore. No one cares about the Yankees anymore except the Yankees.
They care about the Marlins?
They care about facial hair.
So they should go after the Yankees. They also have a facial hair ban. I think you take the Yankees out, You crack down on them, Don Mattingly is going to snap right into place.
Oh, I don't know. He learned it from Steinbrenner.
And that guy's deceased,
so he's
right?
just ruling his team by the ghost of Steinbrenner.
But the Yankees still to this day are haunted by Steinbrenner. They don't do facial hair still, right?
I don't think so.
I think they're clean-cut haircuts and nice shape. You're a man with a beard.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the facial hair ban?
I think it's absurd.
Really?
I think this infringes on personal liberties.
Well, in a way it does.
Because if I'm on that team, and I'm not asking you to weigh in, but you can if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, I believe that I am 100 times more handsome with a beard than I am with a freshly shaven face.
Okay.
I just look like I'm 15 years old without the beard.
Some people like them young.
if I was playing baseball for Donnie Baseball and he told me to shave this thing, I just wouldn't be happy. You should want your employees to be happy.
You wouldn't feel good about the way you looked because you're self-conscious about your appearance.
Exactly.
Here's how I feel about men with beards. It became very popular as of late. This past few years, the beard is booming.
Right up there with kale.
But what I'm saying is, when I see guys with a beard, and I'm not saying this is an attack on you. This may not even deal with you specifically, but most of the guys I see with beards, just the fact of the beard in general just being so ubiquitous these days, it's a guy being like, oh, I don't like this. Let me hide behind something that's like, oh, this is cool. I shave my face and I'm like, look at this thing. Look what I got going on here. Perfection. And I think all Don Mattingly wants from his guys is he wants them to take some pride in their God-given jawlines. And if you can't look your fans in the eye, not from behind a mask, you don't deserve to play for the Florida Marlins.
Did you ever play sports?
What do you think?
I'm just going to say no. I don't think you have. You've never talked about it, but like maybe there's like a T-ball.
I played T-ball, and then I played Little League, and I was very bad, and I hated it. I was always the worst. My worst sport was baseball. The only time I ever got on base, maybe one hit in my three-year career, all the other on bases were getting hit by the pitch because fifth-grade pitchers can't throw,
right?
And I don't have the reaction time to get out of the way, so I'll just lean in, boom. Now I'm on the bag, good for me. I was a little bit better at soccer, which I played organized soccer maybe until like fourth grade. So, kindergarten to fourth grade, dipped out of there. My father was the assistant coach. He's a foreign man. He loved soccer.
Mm-hmm.
He was the assistant coach, but he would be furious because I wouldn't play it so hard. I would just sort of like sit down and just pick flowers and talk to the other boys.
Would he get on you?
He'd be like, come on, what are you doing? Go over there. And I'd be like, Dad, I'm hanging out. And then sometimes if I was friends with guys on the other team, then I'd take them out of the equation. Like, then they'd sit and chill with me for a little bit, and that'd be a good defensive strategy. But sometimes I wasn't friends with guys on the other team. I was friends with guys on my team, and then they'd pause to fucking chill with me for a little bit.
You're a bad influence.
Well, I was just a social man.
Yeah, right.
And I played in third grade 1 year of Catholic booster basketball. Like, the church had a basketball league. And then, they're the only game in town with an organized basketball league. I played that.
Yeah.
I was also very bad as third grade. I got better at basketball, but I'm still not good. Those are the only sports I played. Didn't do it in middle school, high school. Certainly didn't do it in college. I'm more of an indoors kid, Aaron.
That's true. You are.
Yeah.
In addition to lack of control
from
fifth grade pitchers,
yes.
You know what else they have?
What?
Or don't have?
What?
Facial hair.
That's true.
They don't have facial hair.
The Unmanning League should do some recruiting.
He wants his pitchers to be fifth graders.
I just think he wants them to be classic men. There's nothing more classic than your athlete. It's a harkens back to an era where the good was pure.
Mm-hmm.
Make America great again is what Don Mattingly is saying. He's saying, you want to be an athlete, you got to look like a role model.
Don Mattingly, Donald Trump supporter?
All Dons think alike. That's an old proverb.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone named Don is voting Trump in the election. Regardless.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just Donalds in general haven't got enough respect throughout history.
Don Corleone.
To Donald Duck.
Donald Duck's registered Republican.
Right.
It's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Don Mattingly is voting Trump.
What's the name of your latest web series?
The latest one that's online right now that you could see is called Life Support, and you could catch it at vimeo.com/UCBComedy. It's actually a full feature film, but it's broken out into 7 episodes, so that's how it's a web series.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes out to about, an hour and change, feature film length.
So what's the gist of what it's about? I mean, I remember watching it, but it's basically like this author that is a self-help book author.
Like a villain slash like side character in the whole thing. Life Support is basically about, at its core, a bunch of depressed losers who are all alone. They've either been dumped or widowed, like dumped by death, like their husband dies.
Yeah.
It's just people who are alone and lonely and can't pick themselves up off the floor. And then they all form a support group because that's what the self-help book says to do. And the book is called Life Support. The reason they start the support group, the guy who starts it, kind of based on this book, gets the idea from the author himself. He said, just read my book and start a self-help group. And the reason he knows that author is because that's the guy who banged his girlfriend. Basically, he walks in on his girlfriend banging this dude, and he's just like, what? And the guy's like, hey, man, this is going to hurt. you probably need a self-help book to get through this.
And the
read my book.
He's so feeble that he just takes it on the chin and takes this guy's
and buys the
word,
book,
his Bible.
Yep, and then just says, well, the saddest line in the whole thing is he goes, I'm going to listen to this book because he has everything I want.
Right.
And it's sad.
Right.
And
your heart breaks. His girl that he just took, yeah.
Yep.
There are some very heartbreaking moments in there, but it's also, there's some funny moments.
For a comedy, very sad.
It's very dark.
It's a sad comedy. It's not even dark comedy. It's just sad comedy.
It kind of is.
Hey, man.
But it's good. It's very good. People
Thank
should
you.
Watch it.
Thank you very much.
Life support.
Vimeo.com/UCB comedy and look for life support.
It's good stuff.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Let's jump into the MMA.
I'm always ready to jump into MMA.
Your dude. You love him.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor.
He's the best in
the
biz.
I love him, too.
Yep.
He's fighting March 5th, Saturday.
Yep.
He's going to fight Nate Diaz.
Nate Diaz.
Not Nick.
Not Nick.
Nick is his brother.
Nick is his brother.
He's going to...
And Nate Diaz is the younger and less celebrated of the two Diaz brothers.
Nate is. So why is that?
Well, I think Nick has had more fanfare, as it were, in Strikeforce. See, these guys were both in Strikeforce, right? Which was at the time, you know, years back existed. It was a rival promotion to the UFC. UFC's always been the A game, the big show. And then Strikeforce and now Bellator, they're like smaller leagues with smaller players. And the Diaz brothers really became big in Strikeforce. They fought, of course, in UFC before, but they really came into their own in Strikeforce. So right off the bat, it's a B show. And then Nick Diaz, I think, was the champion. He's a Strikeforce welterweight champion at some point, but he was never the champion UFC.
Okay.
So Nate Diaz never held any belts, but his big brother, Nick, did have a belt, but in the B leagues, in Strikeforce.
Got it. So Nate is going up for the title against Conor.
Well, this actually isn't even a title fight.
It's not.
No, I'll tell you.
McGregor was the champion.
McGregor is the champion in the featherweight division.
Oh, so he came up to heavyweight.
Well, let me break it down for you. Heavyweight would be redonkulous. Heavyweights are 205 plus.
All right.
Featherweight cutoff is 145 pounds. So Conor McGregor, the baddest man in the UFC right now, makes fighting weight at 145. So that's smaller than you and me.
Yeah.
That's smaller than most people.
Yep.
Right, he's probably walking around at 170,
and cuts weight,
and then you cut weight. You know,
right.
Wrestling and boxing, there's always weight cuts going.
Yeah,
so Nate Diaz has fought at 155 before. It's a lightweight, and at welterweight 170. But this fight on March 5th, Conor McGregor, who's the 145 champ, is moving up two weight classes to fight Nate Diaz.
Skipping one and going
not
right
just
to the
one.
Next.
Well, what he was going to do, his plan was, and this is why he's the baddest dude in the planet, because he demolishes Jose Aldo, who is for almost a decade this unstoppable force. And it wasn't just a moniker. Like, he destroyed everybody in that division. He made them all look silly. He was incredible. And Conor McGregor steamrolls, just kills him, just like he said he would. He talks the most trash in the world, and then he backs it up, and I love that. And then a bunch of other guys came out of the woodworks and said, well, I want the next shot. Jose Aldo wanted an automatic rematch, which personally I think he should have gotten as such a dominant champion.
You feel like he earned the right to get a rematch?
I think he earned the right to get a rematch.
Before anybody else.
But that wasn't even in the conversation.
Right.
Frankie Edgar also wanted a piece.
Right.
He just won a fight right before the fight that McGregor had to unify the
title. You were saying that he's injured. Because I'm floating around looking at stuff that says Frankie Edgar basically dodged Conor McGregor. You're saying he's injured. That's not the case.
Well,
he didn't dodge him.
No, but also the UFC didn't even want to make that fight.
Why not?
Well, Frank Yeager, I don't know. They were more excited about what Conor wanted to do. What Conor wanted to do is said, okay, I beat the 145 champ. I don't want to have a rematch with him. I want to go for the 155 champ. My next fight, I want to fight the next guy up in their weight class who's also a champion. And so, I think he could have beat the guy. That guy's Rafael Dos Anjos.
When you're the biggest star in the UFC, you call the shots.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it is unheard of. Not unheard of, but it is highly rare for a champion to want to fight a bigger guy who is also a champion.
Sure.
Because odds are that man will beat you. He's the bigger, stronger man, just by weight, by numbers, right? Those are the bigger guys.
And is Nate naturally in that weight class?
Nate is a natural 155er. Or not natural, but that's what he usually fights at, 155.
Yeah.
But apparently he's been fighting at 170, which is why the fight's at 170.
All right.
But basically Conor was saying, I'm moving up.
Yeah.
Right, and then Dos Anjos accepted the fight. The reason guys don't like fighting guys who are bigger than them if they're champions is because the odds are they're going to lose, and then they look silly. Like, a champion doesn't want to look vulnerable, right?
Sure.
So it's badass to do that.
Because Connor's not afraid of that.
He's not afraid of nothing. Yeah. Not afraid of nothing.
He was talking a lot of smack at the press conference, dude, man. They both were.
And let me tell you something. No one does it better.
Connor is great.
Connor's, it's like an art. You're watching like a performance. If he didn't even fight ever, he'd be worth whatever he cost. He's incredible. He speaks. I don't know if he's rehearsing this stuff or if he just is that good. Maybe he's got a gift for the blarney. You know, he could just tell tall tales in old Irish tradition, but he's incredible. And, you know, he's selling any fight he's in. But Dos Anjos got injured, and then all of a sudden this super title, this title versus title fight for the both the belts, you know, for at least for the 155 belt is now off. They got to scramble for a new contender. 11 days notice is not a lot of time, right? So you said Frankie Edgar was maybe dodging this. I don't think so. Reports from his camp, which may or may not be true, but the reports from his camp was that he's also battling an injury, that he's recovering from a foot injury as well. But also, to go into a title fight, which for Frankie Edgar, this would be the biggest fight of his life because it's a chance to become a two-division champion.
Right.
Because he had the belt at 155. Frankie Edgar, former champion. If he has the, if he wins the 145 belt, he's now been a champion in two weight classes. Only three guys have ever done that before. So it's a huge, huge accomplishment.
Is George St. Pierre one of them?
No. George St. Pierre was always at 170 and actively did not want to move up to fight Anderson Silva at 185.
Just stayed right there.
But BJ Penn, one of the guys who had had the belt in two weight classes, went up to fight GSP. He was 155 fighting 170. The point is, Nate takes this fight, but he's not going to cut weight to 145. He can't even cut weight down to 155 right now. So they're doing it at 170. It's a welterweight fight. Conor McGregor fighting two whole weight classes above his championship. And that's impressive to me.
Today he called Nate and Nick Diaz cholo gangsters.
Amazing.
I'm going to play the clip.
I honestly not like, I like Nick's little bro, you know what I mean? How can you not like him? He's like a little cholo gangster from the hood. But at the same time, he coaches kids jiu-jitsu on a Sunday morning and goes on bike rides with the elderly. He makes gun signs with the right hand and animal balloons with the left hand.
He calls them cholo gangsters.
Right. Is that, do you think that's racist?
I think cholo gangsters might think it is.
I think cholo gangsters just want to get the press. Like, why not have their name in the papes, you know?
Yeah.
A little shout out from the champ. I love it.
It's hilarious.
Because he's so funny.
It's such a good line.
His other recent big promo, I don't know if you heard this one, and I think it's too late to try to find the clip, but he was saying, when people fight me, when you get booked to the fight with me, you call home, you call your wife, and you tell her,
Put the red panties on.
We're going to be rich. Yeah. I'm fighting Conor McGregor. He's, you know, I was like, I'm making your life.
Yeah.
It's a red panty night.
Right. Who's the love of a guy who says that?
That's Conor McGregor, man. He's so good. He's coming up. It's like, it's better than any pro wrestler. It's better than any movie line. The guy's just, his job is to be a fighter, but his, like, insult repertoire is insane.
It's so good. I think he trains just as hard with the mic skills that as he does in the ring.
Or he's just gifted in both. Who knows?
It could be both. Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's a little bit of natural talent there.
Do you think he, because when you have a camp, when you have a training camp, you bring in different guys. You bring in like a wrestling guy to work on that. You bring in strength and conditioning coaches.
He's got writers.
Striking coaches. Is he bringing in comedy coaches?
I think he is.
Wow. That's impressive.
What about you? I mean, you write more than I do.
Yeah.
Do you feel this man has all of that wrapped up inside of him by himself, or is he getting help?
Can I tell you my honest opinion? I think the best ideas I ever have, and I think a lot of comedians are the same, is you just are riffing with your friends. You're just having conversations making you guys
totally
laugh. And you'll just, in the moment, stumble upon this line or this turn of phrase and be like, oh, that's hilarious. I just think at some over the years, he's just amassed. Because Irishmen, you know, no, you could be the most brutish, blue-collar, low-class, you know, gutter-fighting Irishman. They all have a love and respect for the language. Like, the Irish, no matter who you are, no matter high-class, high-educated, or low-class, low-educated, That's a group of people who respect, you know, the poets and the artists and the you know, the Joyces of the world.
And good Guinness.
They love a pint and some and gather around and spin tall tales, and they respect that. And I think Connor's just from that culture through and through.
Yeah.
And I just think that over the years, he's just amassed just an encyclopedia of hilarious insults to throw at people. And he's just got the charisma to string them all together seamlessly. So I don't know if he's rehearsing this stuff. Maybe he thinks about him a little bit, but I think he just thinks about what comes to him and then just, you know, spits it out.
Yeah, he's definitely got the gift of gab, man. And he's restored some Irish pride in me.
That's true.
That I haven't had for a long time.
Yeah, I have no Irish pride, but I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
That's fine.
I've always liked
the
Irish.
Are there any Jews in the UFC?
There's a couple, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, that guy would obviously be your favorite.
Yeah, I can't. I think there was an Israeli fighter who maybe had fought once or twice.
Yeah.
Or there's a guy who's in the smaller leagues, maybe, you know, they're teasing and bringing in.
People always say the Israeli Special Forces guys are like the most crazy and lethal soldiers in the world.
Well,
like the Liam Neeson types.
They get a lot of practice.
They got a particular set of skills.
They do, but I can't think of a place that's had its back against the wall
more than
consistently
Israel.
They're nonstop. Yeah, it's sure. They're surrounded on all sides, and it's a battle every day over there. Yeah. So yeah, their elite soldiers are certainly get their reps in. But I think any country. I mean, there's been some UFC fighters before who actually come from elite, you know, special service forces units.
Yeah, I'm surprised
police.
It doesn't happen more often.
Mirko Krokop.
That guy just sounds like he walks into a room and he sizes up everyone and says, yep, I could kill every single one of them.
Well, yeah, Krokop is short for Croatian cop, obviously. He was in the special police force there. Paulo Thiago is a Brazilian fighter, decorated for, being like a Brazilian SWAT guy. Like, if you're an elite cop unit, you're probably pretty tough.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Israeli guys are no different. They got Krav Maga. They got their own martial arts style.
Oh, yeah?
Have you heard of Krav Maga?
Krav Maga.
Yeah, you never heard of Krav Maga?
No.
It's like for close quarters, hand-to-hand combat, but also sort of specializes in disabling people with weapons, with just your hands.
Okay.
And all the Israeli special force guys are trained in Krav Maga.
Maybe you could show me a couple moves when we're done here.
Oh, I am not an Israeli special force guy.
No,
I am
but
a second-generation
like
Israeli-American.
You know some moves for Krav Maga.
No, I know nothing.
Oh.
But I will tell you, just from watching UFC over the years, I've gotten slightly better at like slapping on a choke or a headlock.
Yeah, yeah.
I got some moves, but that's it.
Well, fighting is a thing where you could watch that and get better, whereas I don't think you could watch a million basketball games. I've seen your jump shot. It's not getting any better.
I think if you've never seen basketball before and tried to shoot a basketball, your form would be terrible. And if you watch, you know, some highlight reels of like Kobe's and Jordan's jump shots, you'd be like, oh yeah, let me try it like that. And you'd get a little bit better.
Yeah.
I think that's the same thing. So many people are by nature non-confrontational. At least in this culture. Maybe we used to be, and foreigners seem to be a little bit more quick with the trigger. But in America...
You think so? I think it's the exact opposite.
You think Americans are more quick to get into...
Oh, 100%. Everybody's the most important person in the world, and they know better, and get out of my way or you're going to pay. That's the attitude.
Yeah,
man.
But I think most people are non-confrontational. I think there's a big pussification of America going on.
In a way, but I think it's the extreme. It's like either somebody's going to just lay down completely,
right,
or they're going to just take over everything and bully the hell out of you.
That's fair, but bro, we opened this whole show with a 10-minute talk about kale. Like, you know, what's becoming of us?
We touched on it.
It was a 10-minute touch.
It
was some heavy petting. We really felt it up.
But bottom line is that kale should be considered a vitamin, not a food, right?
I don't want to go back here. Can we not
just,
go?
Just answer that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Holly Holm is also fighting, and this is a title fight?
So when this card first was announced, or at least recently, it was going to be champion versus champion is the main event. Conor McGregor going up in weight to challenge for the lightweight title in Rafael Dos Anjos with a co-main event of Holly Holm in her first title defense against Miesha Tate. Why this is important is because Holly Holm was the first woman to defeat Ronda Rousey,
of
the
course.
Icon.
Of course.
And she defeated her convincingly, to say the least.
Was not a fluke.
Miesha Tate, on the other hand, has fought Ronda two or three times already. I think three times already. She fought Ronda. She lost the Strikeforce. Ronda started in Strikeforce.
Uh-huh.
This league, this B league we started
before. Because
there was no women's MMA. Well, at least there was no women's UFC divisions. So she became a champion in Strikeforce. Honestly, a lot like how Conor McGregor did it, and a lot like how this guy Chael Sonnen did it too. Whereas, like, no one knew who this person was. Ronda had a mouth on her when she was nobody. She talked her way into a title fight. Like, no one ever heard of her, and she just made herself just a charismatic mouthpiece that just wouldn't stop, and then she got a title fight against Miesha Tate, took the belt off her. And then in the UFC they fought, they had some rematch, I think two fights, and Miesha Tate was the one who had always looked the best against Ronda. She lost both fights,
but she was close.
Decisively. But she at least had a good round or something, or looked like she was getting something going here. So Misha Tate, who clearly is, you know, behind Ronda, was the number two in that division, will be fighting Holly Holm in a first defense. And I think that's huge because, I mean, some people, it's hard to look at what Holly did to Ronda and call that a fluke. But at the same time, that's the best Holly Holm's ever looked. I've seen some of her other fights.
Right.
She fought basically a bunch of nobodies.
Right. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, like, granted it wasn't a fluke, but do you think Holly Holm is just so far ahead of everybody where she could go on a run like Ronda did?
I think when you beat a champ like Ronda that decisively, of course, the instinct is to say, yeah, of course, you're going to run through everyone else now.
But you're saying, like, she was kind of weak. She fought weak opponents up until Ronda.
Yeah, or definitely weaker. I mean, this, you know, but the thing is, styles make fights.
Right.
She's a kickboxer.
It was a good matchup.
Well, she's a kickboxer, she's a big striker, and she's rangy. She's got long limbs.
Long limbs.
And she's got legs for days, that Holly Holm. And Ronda came in there with what looked like a bad game plan, or perhaps not the tools to fight someone like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. And she got handled big time. That doesn't necessarily mean that other women who are going to fight Holly Holm are going to look that bad. Like, Misha Tate is a badass. She is awesome. She's an incredible grappler, and she's hung with Ronda Rousey many times. So, also, she has the benefit of looking at the tape, and she could see Holly fight that fight and see now what she's coming in with.
Right.
When you're Ronda Rousey, and every fight you've ever had, you've just waltzed in there, did whatever you want, and killed the other person. And people have hours of tape to watch of you fighting, but you don't have that much tape to watch the other person. It's hard to go into that fight. You don't know what you need to work on. You don't know what your weaknesses are. As far as you know, you're invincible. And that shows her that she's not invincible, you know? So, same thing can be said about Holly Holm. She's never lost yet, so she doesn't know what she's bad at.
Mm-hmm.
Misha could be the one who exploits that. We don't know. Money's on Holly Holm. The smart money's go with Holly. She looks like a force.
Are you smart or dumb money?
Me? I'm the smartest
money.
I know
you like rooting for an underdog.
Nah, I'm the smartest money in the wallet.
Actually, you don't.
I like rooting for greatness.
You do.
I love the greats.
Yeah.
Not every single great, but if you're, I love a dominant champion.
That's why you love Kobe.
I love Kobe for many reasons. One of the reasons I like, and here's another thing. I like when the world turns on you for no reason. You become a social underdog. I'll say it a minute.
I hope you're not talking about Kobe.
I am talking about Kobe Bryant.
There's plenty of reasons.
There's
why
not
the world
one reason.
Turned
Let
on.
Me tell you something. I hated Kobe Bryant. When he was number eight, I never liked him. I thought he was whiny.
Yeah.
I thought he was flashy.
Uh-huh.
I thought, of course, you're going to win three championships. You got Shaquille O'Neal and
right.
Phil Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're good, but I'm not impressed. You're not one of my favorite guys, right? But I love his obsession and his compulsion with being the best. And everyone all of a sudden was like, oh, Kobe, you know, they turned on him. Why? Because he cheated on his wife? They're all cheating on their wives. What's the problem? I don't think he did anything untoward with this woman. I believe it was fully consensual. I think the case panned out that way, where his you know, as far as guilt in that regard, he's been cleared. All he did is cheat on his wife. Whatever. He's not a role model. He's an athlete.
He did drag Shaq down into it for no reason.
Well, good.
He was like, Shaq's cheating too.
Yeah, that was kind of...
That's messed up.
That's kind of stooly. But,
yeah.
But point is, I got nothing but... He didn't let him stop his game. All this stuff, the court proceedings, the hatred from the public,
mm-hmm.
He did not let up. He got better. He put all that back into the game.
Do you remember there were days when he would come from directly from the courtroom to the court?
And light it up. And I love that. And I'm attracted to that. I say that is something I respect.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron doesn't have that.
I think it was you who said that you respect Kobe so much because the Lakers are going to have to retire two jerseys.
Two numbers.
Right? Two
How
numbers.
About that?
Yeah.
How about run tell that home,
run,
boy?
Tell that. And when you put it in that kind of perspective, I was kind of on board.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
I mean,
no doubt
no
about
question
it.
He's a legend. The only debate is who's the best player in the league, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago when it was LeBron versus Kobe, and I'd always say Kobe.
Because you don't really like LeBron.
Well, I hate LeBron, and I don't respect his hairline. But I don't think he has the commit. The difference between the guys like Conor McGregor and the guys like Kobe and the guys like Michael Jordan and the true best to ever do it
mm-hmm.
is there's something wrong with them. They're not complete people, and they are driven with a. See, Aaron, you're a family man. You can't be as good as these guys. There's something with them that they will not stop. They will kill their mother if it means victory.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think LeBron has it. LeBron is just the most gifted physical specimen to play the game. He's worked very hard. He's carried nothing teams to the finals, but he's not.
His greatest flaw is that he's a decent, balanced person.
Yeah. That's what I'll say. And by the way, professional athlete, so still would cheat on his wife, would scheme money shit. You know, like, that doesn't mean he's a good guy. I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of things, he's not a defective human being in the same way that Kobe,
right.
MJ, and
yeah.
probably Connor is too.
We don't know for sure that, you know, LeBron cheated on his wife.
Is he even married?
Yeah, I think. He's got two.
I think like it's a girlfriend. I don't know. Point is, he ain't Kobe. He's not my Kobe. I love him.
You do love your Kobe. Are you going to miss him when he's gone?
Nah.
You're not watching any games this year.
I watched less than 5 games this year.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't watch any Laker games this year.
Why would you?
Nah.
It's like watching someone slowly die.
Yeah. So I'm glad he's retiring. It's, you know, time to put it away. But
it was time 2 years ago.
No, because then he went to have that
He needed the farewell tour.
That Achilles, man. Dude.
This is the reason why I'm not a fan of Kobe. He's just too calculated. It's just too calculated, everything. He needs the farewell tour, the gifts in every city. You should have seen the All-Star game, man. It was a commercial for Kobe. There was a video intro for a video intro before the game even started.
Right.
It was too much.
I can imagine
and
that
I know,
that's ridiculous.
Like, respect the legends while they're still living, right? I get that. So, you know, I appreciate the young guns in the NBA paying homage to somebody that they grew up watching and respecting. So I appreciate that. Having said all that, it's too much.
Do you, Aaron Hodges, think that he deserves that kind of praise and respect, though?
Yeah, I do.
So it's a pain in the ass to sit through.
As much as I don't like him.
Right. You don't have to like him. It's probably excessive on the TV. It's like, all right, we get it. But as a player, for what he's given to the game, I think he deserves it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I imagine if I watched it, I'd be upset too.
Very impressive that he went and won 3 more championships without Shaq.
Dude, he's one of the best players to ever play the game.
Absolutely.
And I'm not ready to say that LeBron is better than Kobe. When the careers are over, I think Kobe's going to be higher on that list. That's, if I could say one thing about the NBA in my lifetime, it's that I think Kobe deserves to be higher on the list than LeBron. LeBron's rings are with a championship caliber Dwayne Wade and Bosh. They did it without him. Get out of here,
what
LeBron.
What if LeBron gets one in Cleveland?
He never will get one. That's the best part. He's never going to get one in Cleveland.
Can you imagine?
Not good enough. Spends too much time being a balanced person. Not enough time. Compelled to. Kobe Bryant will stay in the gym. I bet there was days where Kobe Bryant was just working on shots, forgot to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Just did 10 hours working on basketball. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I think maybe could have happened. I think you would have seen MJ doing the same thing. He's like, oh, shit, I didn't even eat omelet today. I did nothing. I just sat here working on my jump shot. LeBron's not doing that. He's too busy, you know. I don't know what he does. What does he do? Shining up that head of his? What's he doing with his time? Counting money?
I think you're underestimating the man.
I hate him.
He's going to get one in Cleveland. Eventually.
Odds are he will. He's too good. Not to put the beard's best part. He's only getting worse. He ain't getting better.
His skills are definitely declining.
Not only that, but he's not even the best player in the league right now. Steph Curry.
He's the darling.
He's the guy you want on your team, not LeBron James. LeBron James is just the biggest build and, you know, the best specimen. But he's going to be dwindling a little bit, losing a step every year, and there'll be younger, hungrier guys on their upswing. And that's what I love, man. I want to see the next Kobe because it sure as hell ain't LeBron James.
We've covered a lot here today.
All over the map.
From T-ball to Kale to your web series.
Oof. Love it.
To Kobe, MMA. It's covered a lot.
It's a buffet. It's a talk buffet we served up here for the people today, Aaron. Thank you for letting me do it.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for coming on and being on this triple-double episode of the Off Balance 3.
The deuce.
The deuce.
Can I plug my Twitter?
Do it.
You guys can follow me at Shabiro. That's it. S-H-E-B as in Bravo, I-R-O, at Shabiro.
You're climbing up there. Close to 1,000 followers.
About to break 1,000. Will you be the one to put me over the edge?
Do you hear this, people? I know we just started. It's a slow build, but let's show the power of crookedscoreboard.com and the Off Balance 3 by getting this extremely talented and worthy person up to 1,000 followers. He's only got about 20 to go, I think.
I'm at 949 right now.
If we can't get you 51 followers, I quit this show.
Whoa. Whoa.
You have 3 weeks, Crooked Scoreboard readers and Off Balance 3 listeners. If you ever want another podcast from me after 3 weeks, you better get this man to 1,000.
Man, Aaron, I'm so sorry you're going to have to quit the show, man.
I probably will. Hashtag Kale when you tweet at Shabiro.
Thank you, man.
Thanks. All right, guys, that wraps up episode 2 of the Off Balance 3. You can follow me on Twitter at Aaron Hodgson. Follow the show. I'm tweeting. The guys at Crooked Scoreboard are tweeting from it. It's at OB3, place to be. That's the Twitter for the show. We're going to try to release episodes every Friday. That's the goal. They'll be ready for you, waiting for it. So if you subscribe, it'll be available immediately on the podcast app. As soon as that thing gets uploaded, boom, ready to go right there on your phone. You can listen on the bus, on the train, your way to work. However you listen, it's going to be there. So subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Much appreciated, guys. 5 stars. Of course, 5 stars. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you again next Friday.